Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:07 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is February 12th. Well, it was a positive day on markets today. Certainly, we've seen a big move on Wall Street. NASDAQ up 105 points. And more importantly than that, it's now within striking distance of the sequence of lower rally highs, having unwound just about all of the oversold condition relative to the trend mean. And in fact, it is now trading above it. So only another 30 points and it will have broken its sequence of lower rally highs. That's a major consideration, considering the depth of the decline that we've seen and the subsequent rebound, which has been particularly positive. Well, if we start to list off the things that people were particularly worried about all the way down from the peak in October to the low in December, the first, of course, is that the Federal Reserve was showing an unrequited adherence to its policy of reducing the size of its balance sheet and raising interest rates, and that has been rolled back on. It's very unlikely the Fed is going to raise rates again in this cycle, and if they do, they're quite likely to get a rather significant rap on the knuckles from the market. But they are still reducing the size of their balance sheet, and that was one of the things that the market took heart from, was that they would at least consider moderating the pace with which they're reducing the size of the balance sheet. Well, there's no evidence of that yet. So they are persisting at least with this part of their policy. The market is at least for the moment willing to look past that that particular phenomenon. We can be guaranteed that it's going to come back onto the forefront of the news cycle at some stage, but perhaps not quite yet. Then, of course, the next item on the agenda was the government slowdown. And yesterday, I think it was really last night, we saw that the administration, or at least President Trump, has accepted that there will be some funding for a border. Well, I think I hesitate to call it, it's going to be a wall, at least some fencing, and it's going to be considerably less than the $5 billion he was looking for. Nevertheless, $1.3 billion is at least a start, and the first portion of that border is going to be erected in Texas. So that has also bolstered appetites among investors that things are perhaps not all that bad. Then today you had President Trump saying that he would look past the March 1st deadline if there was progress on the talks with China. It really would be bad form to impose $200 billion worth of tariffs while there are talks ongoing. So certainly that's, I think, most likely that the tariffs that were due to go in place on March 1st will be delayed until we see some results from the current round of negotiations. China and the US have got obviously some very clear vested interests at hand here when they're negotiating a trade negotiation. Trade is just one part of it. The second part of it is that China has identified the USA as a key competitor, and it has got global ambitions of becoming the global hegemon. And that means becoming the largest economy in the world, becoming energy independent, and then also having the most advanced military. So those are obviously longer term objectives, but how they are going to get there is really the biggest topic of conversation with these trade negotiations, because forced technology transfer, espionage on an industrial scale, rather than calling it industrial espionage, it's more like espionage on an industrial scale. And then the pioneering of breakthrough technologies. Well, we've also seen, for example, over the last few days that the USA had a freedom of navigation exercise through the Spratly Islands. Then, on the other hand, NASA was saying that China's space laser designed to clean up junk could just as easily be deployed as a weapon against US satellites. So we know that the next theater of war is probably going to be in. Well, I guess the probably above our heads would probably be the best way of thinking about it. We've certainly seen a really quite considerable pullback in the defense sector, and part of the reason for that was because there was some questioning of what the budgets are going to be when you have a Democratic Congress. But I think that there is a sufficient threat out there that it's unlikely we're going to see very big budget cuts from the US military anytime soon. And that sector is coming back to test the region of the trend mean as well. Well, when we then look at what the additional points are that people were worried about, what is particularly interesting is that earnings have been reasonably positive in this cycle. And that was also one of the things that people were worried about, that earnings would start to disappoint. And a lot of the earnings growth, or indeed any growth at all, from the Trump tax cuts that was priced in 2017 has been priced out over the last 12 months. So there is an argument that the market is pretty much starting from where it was more than a year ago. When we think about what the outlook is here, considering that we've had a rather substantial trend inconsistency, then it is, even in a best case scenario, we're probably going to have an additional period of ranging. That having had the big pullback and an equally impressive rebound, that a lot of people are still going to be looking at where their portfolios were back in September. They will have seen that we've had a pretty significant rebound. Eventually, we're going to have to see some profit taking. And then the big arbiter of whether this is a medium-term correction or an evolving top formation is going to be whether we get a higher reaction low and then whether that higher reaction low holds. Now, when we think about where are we in terms of the monetary cycle, well, financial conditions were quite tight, obviously, at the end of last year, and they have loosened up considerably over the course of the last 7 weeks. So that is a positive. Then we have to think about what is it that central banks are doing. Well, the Federal Reserve is probably not going to raise interest rates, but they are still reducing the size of their balance sheet. The ECB. And I think it is worth keeping a rather close eye on this data. They come out with it every week, so it's probably not worth looking at every day, but it is updated every week. And the ECB's balance sheet expanded all the way through January, and it was even up a little last week. Well, this is the big question. Is the ECB in fact going to stop buying bonds? And that's, or if they are not going to stop buying bonds, they're certainly going to be reinvesting all of their coupons and any proceeds they get from maturing bonds. So that's certainly a something that is definitely going to happen. But then we also have the fact that the German economy is slowing down, the Italian economy is in recession. It's quite likely that the Spanish market, or excuse me, the rather than the market, the government in Spain is going to topple in the next few days. The French economy is under pressure from the Yellow Vest movement. The Spanish index has reverted to the mean. It's testing its sequence of lower rally highs. It hasn't quite been able to punch through and up above the trend mean. So that's a hurdle over which it's going to have to get before we can really conclude that this almost 2 year decline has in fact ended. When we look at the DAX index, then Germany was the clear outperformer in Europe. and it has been trending down for at least the last 8 months. There is still a sequence of lower rally highs. There is the potential that the bounce we've had over the last 3 days is a higher reaction low, but it's going to have to hold. And what we've definitely seen over the course of the last few years is that any time that the euro weakens, then it has generally been a tailwind for the European stock market, but when it strengthens, it tends to be a headwind. Well, it's very simple that something that David said on multiple occasions is that there is no country wants a strong currency, but some need a weaker one more than others. And the Eurozone needs a weaker currency. When we think about where do German exports actually go, well, a lot of them go to the rest of the EU, and then a substantial quantity go to China. Well, China has been engaged in a policy of trying to squeeze out the reliance on stimulus from the economy over the course of the last 18 months. And that has resulted in lower demand for just about everything. Well, they have squeezed the reliance of the economy on shadow banking has been squeezed to such an extent that the flows have reversed. So they certainly have the rationale that job done, that they at least they could declare a job done and suggest that the policy of tightening has ended. And the fact that the A-share market is starting to steady up is certainly positive. It's now coming back up to the upper side of a 4 month range, and it has unwound the majority of its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. The H-share index is back above its trend mean. It was in positive territory in here today, but this looks increasingly likely that it is breaking its sequence of lower rally highs. And as long as it can hold this move above the trend mean, well, then we can begin to conclude that a low of at least near-term and potentially medium-term significance has been reached. This is within the context of what is almost a decade-long range between approximately 8 and 14,000. So, this could potentially be the beginning of a rebound back up to the upper side of the range, but of course that would be contingent on the mainland market starting to function somewhat better. And that will be dependent on the eagerness of the Chinese administration to adopt more fiscally stimulative measures, as well as potentially opening up the purse strings in terms of monetary stimulus. We have certainly got the potential for monetary stimulus in Europe, but perhaps not quite yet. I think we certainly have this also this risk from politics in Europe. The rise of populism is essentially a revolt against the status quo. It was the status quo and the I think the idealism of trying to put the conditions in place to adopt a fiscal union in Europe as to complement the monetary union that forced austerity upon the region almost a decade ago. And that is primarily what this rise in populism in Europe is is really revolting against. One of the things that, or the entire schedule of the austerity program was to ensure that debt to GDP ratios would be aligned and harmonized by approximately 2029. And at that point, then, the argument for introducing fiscal unity right across the region would have been much easier to pass through. Well, what is quite clear is that with the rise of populism, that is going to either completely obliterate that schedule or at least delay it, because there are increasingly loud cries for deficit spending, and that is going to shift the timeline for fiscal union. Well, that therefore is going to be a clear war between the autocrats in Brussels versus the populist movements that are erupting all over the Eurozone. Essentially, this is going to be a philosophical argument between the two. And the European elections in the next few months, or I think in April, are going to be one of the clear arbiters of exactly how powerful this revolt movement is. So that is, I think, one of the big uncertainties that's sitting out there for Europe in particular. When we look at the Europe stock, or the Euro stocks, I should say, it has now almost unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. It would be very hard to conclude that this is a consistent trend. Certainly, the price is higher today than it was back in 2009, but it has massively underperformed other global benchmarks. And that's following what has been an historically large quantitative easing program from the ECB over the last few years. So the ECB has not got a lot to show for its massive spend. Well, the answer that has been adopted by an increasingly large number of countries has been fiscal stimulus, and I really do think that that is what we can see, or what we're going to see in future in Europe. Well, India is where we have the clearest argument for fiscal stimulus right now, and not least because Modi is trying to buy the election. The stock market was weaker again in here today, but it has room in which to consolidate and still be around or above this 10,000 area, which is a rather large psychological level for the market. What has been particularly interesting over the last few days is that we have investors starting to talk about US exceptionalism again. And that is obviously going to be part and parcel of the dollar strength, although it was weaker in here today, and the outlook for US treasuries. Well, the treasury yield was again weaker, or well, the bond market was weaker in here today, and the yield was a little firmer. It has at least the yield found support in the region of around 2.6%. 2.5% is the upper side of the range that persisted between 2015 and 2017. So this is a natural area where people might start to question just how far the price can rally. We know that there is a great deal of additional supply coming to the market, and the bond investors have been very slow to conclude that we are going to see a meaningful run-up in yields. Part of the reason for that is that they don't believe we're going to have an inflationary outcome, that we are late in the cycle, and that is certainly something that is worthy of consideration. The fact that we're getting really quite defensive sectors doing better from here is, I think, also a testament to the fact that people are looking at some form of hedge here, that the appetite for high growth has moderated somehow, or somewhat, I should say. But then when we look at, for example, Amazon, it was below $1,600 yesterday, and it was able to rally in here today. So that's quite positive that it's been able to push back above that $1,600 area and up and into that trading range that's persisted for the last month. Well, we can also see here that there is a sequence of lower rally highs. There is the potential here that we have seen the low if it can continue to move higher from here and push on to new recovery highs above the $1,750 area, then that would be really very positive indeed. When we also look at companies like Netflix, which has been adding subscribers at a prodigious rate and is really trying extraordinarily hard to break into India, that is obviously the big frontier for the company. And it is also now coming back back towards the sequence of lower rally highs, and this has been a very, very meaningful rebound we've seen over the course of the last 7 weeks. I think it's also worth highlighting that the subscription business model type companies like Microsoft and Cisco have been less volatile and are consolidating above the region of their respective trend means. And that is a testament to the fact that investors are willing to give these types of companies the benefit of the doubt because they have more defensive type characteristics as a result of how streamlined their cash flows are as a result of their business models. And Adobe is beginning to talk about making its own chips. And when we look at the price here, then it has broken its sequence of lower rally highs. So these are rather important phenomena. Certainly we're seeing a lot of the issues that investors have been worried about now starting to abate. Of course, that is going to raise the question, certainly for the Federal Reserve, whether there is the scope for an additional rate hike. So the better that markets do, then the greater the likelihood is that we're going to have those big questions asked. It really does highlight that the Federal Reserve is in a catch-22 situation because they can't raise interest rates or the stock market will have a rather another significant pullback. And what that suggests is we're very late in the cycle, that there is certainly the scope for a for additional upside here, that we could indeed end this advance in a bubble. But I think we have sufficiently overbought conditions in the short term that there is the potential first that we're going to get an additional pullback, that markets do not go up in a straight line for long. And the more likely scenario is that we are going to get at least some consolidation of these moves. But we've seen a sufficiently large number of shares being able to sustain moves above their respective trend means that that consolidation could occur above the trend mean. And if that were the case, it would be the best of all possible scenarios. This corrective phase has been going on now for more than a year. Medium-term corrections generally last anything from 6 to 18 months, and we have been in this corrective phase for a while already. So what that suggests is that we are, I think, ripe now for at least some profit-taking, as a lot of the things that people were worried about have been priced back into the market, as and not least as we come back up towards the highs. If we then get a consolidation that occurs above the trend mean, again, that would be the best of all possible scenarios. Of course, if it does not, and we do get a, we pull all the way back and retest the lows, then I think people are going to become a lot more nervous. Generally speaking, it is when people start to make predictions about how wonderful the future is going to be, and I've seen more than a few articles in here today talking about US exceptionalism, then generally speaking that tells you that people are already long and that they have bought back in. Well, that's certainly positive in terms of appetite for the market. The fact that high yield debt has also steadied up in here and is the iBox fund is back above its trend mean is a positive, but I think we can also see that it is coming back towards the sequence of lower rally highs. So we've certainly had a very good day, and there has also been a rebound in the oil price, not least because Saudi Arabia is reducing the supply, but it hasn't quite yet been able to push up and out of this short-term range. So we still have the potential here that we could be in for some additional volatility. I think what we need in order to really conclude that we are coming out the other end of this corrective phase is a resumption of supply of liquidity to the market. financial conditions have certainly loosened up, and we have had the Federal Reserve begin to suggest that there is in fact going to be a Powell put, and that's very positive. But we need to see some sort of indication that the ECB and China and Japan are going to continue to provide liquidity. And if we do in fact get that, well, then there is the potential that we're going to get an additional leg up on in what has been a liquidity-fueled advance. But I think the more likely scenario is that we are getting increasingly likely to a consolidation on stock markets. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.